builder, but unfortunately often we think we are smarter than he is. Well, I always say God does not fear what's the opposite of a wise person. He's not afraid of a dumb or stupid people, but he fears so-called smart people, because often we are too smart and we do everything according to our own concepts of what is good and our own thoughts, and we think we know better than God, and that's how people are. That's man. They want to change everything. So when they think that the food that God has prepared is not good enough, they seek to modify it. And the more they modified it, for example, gene-modified GMO food, this food that they modified in the end is making people sick. So it's not good to be too smart in the church. Paul wrote, did God not choose the poor and the foolish in this world, and he to destroy and to put to shame the wisdom of the wise? And often, I have to tell the Father, Father, I'm too stupid. I'm not smart enough to understand so much and to lay hold of so much, so you have to show it to me. It's better for him to show it to us than for us to make something up in our own mind. And in the end, we create so much destruction. So let's read Hebrews chapter 9 together. Amen. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. That was Hebrews 9, 1 through 5. It says, of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Well, that gives the author some time. And he can surely tell us very much about the spiritual, true meaning so that we can experience it. But although he's showing it in all the details in Hebrews now, the anointing can also show it to us. So even if we cannot speak in detail in Hebrews, we may not even think we have the ability to grasp it all, but the Lord can give us that which we need for the building up of the church. he can show us that which we need. So sometimes we don't need to know so many details, but to know what is crucial, the key details we do have to know. And we see in this chapter what we also mentioned before. See that you do everything as it was revealed and shown on the mount, because that is the heavenly pattern. And to know how the Lord is building this true heavenly tabernacle today, we must know this pattern. If we're not even interested to see it, how can we build? How can we see what he wants to build with us in a spiritual way today? And it has to do with us, because we are his house today. So we must understand, in order to build his house, we need this special acacia wood. We ourselves, in our fallen nature, our soul, our self, which is, yeah, we just live for ourselves. We live out our ego. And that's where all the problems in the church life come from. This false humanity. You might say, oh, wow, we're standing on the ground. Well, the Lord does not look at the ground. Or, at the very least, he's not looking only at the ground. What's important is, how are you building? For Paul, it was not, so many things were not important, but what was important was, how are you building on this foundation? Because there is no foundation that anyone can lay except the one which is laid. So Paul, in some ways, laid the foundation in Corinth at that time, but he said, look how each of you builds upon it. That means not everyone is building properly. It's not that anyone can build however they like, but we must build according to the Word. We have to build according to the Spirit. With the Spirit, through the Word. You can't just keep saying Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Well, then you're like a Pentecostal. The Pentecostal churches, they just focus on the Spirit, but they have no foundation in the Word. Then it's also a mess. You can't say we're building through the Spirit. But how? Well, the Spirit builds exactly according to the Word. And therefore, it's so important, even here in Hebrews, there's this confirmation that what Moses built back then is still something that concerns us today. You can't say that it doesn't concern us. And if we put that aside and say, I don't need that anymore, then I'd like to ask you, what does your building look like today? It's no wonder that the result is chaos. If everyone does what he likes, everyone interprets the Bible how he likes. Paul said, is everyone a prophet? Is everyone an apostle, an evangelist? Surely not, should be the answer. Therefore, this picture is very important for us today, because everything that is written there is according to the heavenly pattern. And that is why we spent time this afternoon especially to speak about acacia wood and everything that is that has to do with the sanctuary. It's very important. So there might be a question. Well, then why did Paul say you have to build with gold, silver, and precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw? Well, that wood that he's talking about means it signifies our fallen humanity. And that kind of wood the Lord cannot use. Because the negative side of wood is it also signifies fallen humanity. We are also like grass. Our humanity is like grass. The glory of man is like the flower of the grass. It's beautiful today, and tomorrow it's gone. It's wilted. It withered. It's dead. It does not remain. Nothing abides. So for the building up of this sanctuary, the Lord requires a special wood, and that is His humanity. So, how do we build today? And where can we obtain such wood, acacia wood? If we don't learn to experience this meal offering, the humanity of the Lord, the finest meal that's mixed with oil, without any leaven, so fine, so pure, without any death. If we do not experience this humanity day by day, how else will you obtain these materials? And the more we experience of the humanity of the Lord, the more ourself is replaced. We are replaced. And we will say, as Paul did, it is not I who live, but Christ. And more, our daily life will be through Christ. Our walk will be through Christ. And that is the way in which we can obtain and gain the humanity of the Lord. So once again, I return to our priestly service. Well, the priests are meant to be the experts in handling and to deal with all of these offerings, to prepare them. That's why it's so important. And so we learned the feast of, to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. The breaking of bread, the Lord's table, that's not just a ritual. That's not a ritual to us. Since when is the Lord's table or the breaking of bread a ritual? For us, it is an enjoyment. It is really the keeping of a feast. Isn't that right? All of these wonderful feasts, to keep them is a wonderful way to gain Christ. And they are ordained by God. God would not ordain something for us that is not useful for us. All these wonderful feasts were accomplished by the Lord. He is the reality. And if we view it as a ritual, we say, we don't need that, that's just the Old Testament. Well, then how can you enjoy this bread? And this humanity is so wonderful. And as we saw, that there is the stature, the measure that we have to treasure. That's not just a small piece of wood. That's not enough. If it's a piece of wood that's just 2 or 3 cubits, 4.5 cubits tall, that's not sufficient. We need the entire piece that is 10 cubits tall. That means you cannot cease gaining this wood. Haggai said, go to the mountain and gather the wood. What kind of wood? Not just any old wood that you find. No, it has to be the wood that you find up there at the top of the mountain, which is not so easy to find. There we must gather this wood. Lord, give me this wood. To call the meal offering nonsense, or to say that it's nonsense that we need it, that's so wrong, because we see how important it is for the building up of the church. We see it in the tabernacle. Of course, we don't mean the wood of the podium that I'm standing at here, but we mean this true, precious humanity of Jesus that is free of worms. And each of our humanity is really, it's fishy, there's something wrong with it. And at some point or another, that worm that is hidden in us will come forth. Yeah. So we need this humanity. That's why we need the meal offering. It's not how, but it's what. It's the material that's important. Not the method. Well, sometimes we just want the method. We seek principles. But in the end, we see that that does not suffice. It doesn't achieve anything. But it is this wood that really can help us. And only this kind of wood, which is the humanity of Christ, is capable of retaining the gold that is overlaying it. God would only overlay this kind of wood with gold. Otherwise, if the wood inside is rotting away, that's bad. God would not do such a thing. Our God knows how He is building. And we see this number 10 here. It's 10 cubits high, and it shows that the Lord, in His humanity, is fulfilling the standard of God, everything that God has attained, the righteous requirement. The Lord has fulfilled all of this. And that's the kind of humanity that the Lord requires for the building of the church. It's not good when you measure yourself against yourself. You can't do that. You're not a good standard. You can't compare yourself to yourself. Then you'll always be the tallest or the shortest, depending on how tall you are. We need the humanity of the Lord, because what was impossible for the law, because of flesh, because of our flesh, God accomplished in that He sent His Son. He became a man. And as a man, He fulfilled everything that we are not able to fulfill. Who in the church can say, I can do everything? Are you always obedient? Oh, really? Your last name is good. That brother's last name is the German translation for good. But the Lord will say to you, there is no one who is good. No, not one. No one is good. I thank the Lord my name is just so. Praise the Lord. We And we're sometimes so, and sometimes we're so. One way or the other way. So we are lacking so much. And we've failed so often. We did not pass the test. We failed many tests, many trials. So how can we, as such people, build this holy, glorious house? Think about it. So it's not a question of how we build, but what are the materials we need to build. If we don't have these materials, it's not possible, and that's why we must know and learn to treasure the humanity of the Lord today and gain it and experience it. It's so wonderful to see this. And only the Lord, He is the only God-man. He is both God and man. He is this acacia wood, overlaid with gold. He is so perfect, so wonderful. And He is the only one who fully expresses God. Such a humanity. Hebrews 1 tells us He is the shining forth of God. So whoever sees Him will see the brightness of His glory, and He is the express image of His person. He said, "He who sees Me sees the Father." And then we see that because this wood has something to do with us, in that we experience Christ even more, then we see that the measure is 1.5 cubits. That means that by your own you are not sufficient, you're not complete, you need an additional board together with you. That's the building up. You cannot be built up by yourself. It's Exodus chapter 26, verse 16. If you want to be built up, you need at least more than one board. You need at least two boards. That reminds us that the Lord always sent His disciples out two by two. Because the cubit and a half means that the half shows it's not complete. It may be that the wood itself is perfect, but for the building up, what word should I use? Something is missing. It's lacking. The other half is missing. So, we need the building up among one another. But it's not possible to be built up with everyone. If you could even be built up with one other brother or sister, that's already quite good. So, 1.5 plus 1.5 is 3. And the number 3 means that then we can really express the triune God, and not in the old creation, but through the power of resurrection. The number 3 in the Bible signifies the power of resurrection. Because the Lord resurrected on the 3rd day. He broke through. He came out of the grave. And the Lord said at the time, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it back up." Death destroys, but the power of resurrection builds up. The Lord builds everything through the power of resurrection. The power of resurrection brings forth a new creation. And then we see in this drawing of the 20 boards connected. If we look at one half of those 20, it's 10 boards on one side and 10 boards on the other side. And it means that this bar is binding together the first 10, and the other is binding together the other 10. So in this picture, you have four groups of 10 that are bound together by four bars. So that means that the two halves are built together, but within each group of 10, you still have two pairs. Five pairs that are built together. So it's impossible to be built up with everybody. But you also have to learn to be built up with your wife. Of course, she is the one who's closest to you. That's good. But two is also not enough. So here you have five pairs. Means here you have a group, and here you also have a group. But we can't say it's good enough that we're just bound with those who are closest to us. But there is a bar that goes through the midst of all the boards. And that is a connection, which is a divine, a spiritual connection. It's not fleshly. It's not a human group. Or in the end you'll have a club, a brothers club, or a special fellowship. And if you are speaking of a special fellowship, no, our oneness is the Lord Himself. We're not a club. We're not an association. We're not an agreement that we have amongst ourselves. We're not a plot or a conspiracy. None of those things. But much more, our connection is solely through this bar that is made of the same exact wood. It's made of acacia wood. And it's overlaid with gold. That means that all the material throughout is the same. And everything that connects us is not of ourself. So we see the humanity of the Lord in this meal offering, which contains no honey. Honey is very sticky. And in the end, if you are not careful, in the end, you will be really sticky. And that is dangerous. To be sticky is dangerous. Because you will end up being one because you're stuck. You're unable to come out. Something is keeping you. Something has got you stuck and you can't get out. Be it a human friendship or perhaps you have some benefit or profit, or you are supported. There are many things there that stick us to one another, a position or a recognition. So many things that are sticky. But here, we see the picture that this oneness is a pure divine oneness in the spirit. It's not a human oneness. We must see this clearly today, and if we have not learned it, then we will fall into the same difficulties as before. And so the humanity of the Lord is so important, because through it we are able to be built up together through the Holy Spirit. And that is the bond of peace through the Spirit. It is a oneness of the Spirit. All of these rings, they are made of gold. They're wholly of gold, not of iron or any other material, or bound together with wire. No. It's all made of gold. And the bars are just like the boards, made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. It goes all the way through. A picture is worth 1,000 words. Otherwise, in the end, you are talking about the building up. But it would be sad if the Lord came back and were to realize that there is actually no real building up. So it's better for us to know today whether or not we are really built up or not. And Paul said that we should hold fast the oneness of peace. Pursue oneness. Pursue to keep the unity of the Spirit, not just any oneness. And this oneness is through the Spirit. The triune God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here we see it's so wonderful that the building up is happening in all these different places. All the boards are being connected together, and then everything is connected with this one bar. That's what we have to experience today. So we have to learn to first have the proper oneness between us and the Father, toward who is above us. And then if we have that proper oneness, then our oneness with each other will also be the proper oneness. So we see that each of the boards had 2 feet, which are on 2 sockets of silver. It's so wonderful. We constantly need salvation. We really need salvation. Constantly. You can't say, I've already got enough salvation. The more you treasure this board, the more you really need salvation. The more you experience the humanity of the Lord in your daily life, the more you treasure salvation. How often do you pray, Lord? It is your responsibility to save me to the uttermost. You alone are capable to do it. As it says in the scripture, He is able to save us to the uttermost. And so we must always be standing on these silver sockets. And we see there's so much silver here. I didn't do the math, but you can do the math. How much silver? Can you imagine such a tabernacle? And it had to be moved through through the wilderness for 40 years. So they had to build it up, take it apart, build it up again every time they moved along. We don't know how heavy it is, how large. And every piece of wood is 10 cubits tall and a half a cubit thick. And 1.5 cubits wide. And then you have 2 boards here, 20 boards on each side. So it's 48 boards altogether. That's a lot of work. So we may think it's very easy, but it's not easy at all. It's not easy. The Lord really has to show us. There's so much to see. It's too bad that the writer of Hebrews is not here. Surely he would have a lot more to tell. To tell us about this wonderful wood. And so even if you've gained Christ and you have gained his humanity, you have to know, I still need the other half. I still need the complement, the completion that none of us is. None of us is perfect in the sense that we are able to do everything. As far as you know, you might be the half. You're still just the half, so you still need the other half. So woe to us if we think we don't need anything else and we think we can do everything on our own. No. Only the Lord is able. And even the Lord might say to you, no, I still need you, but not you in your natural self. So the Lord must really open our eyes. And we see that right now we're only talking about the sanctuary, the building of the sanctuary, and this covering is a wonderful work. You have 10 curtains that are bound together, 5 on the one side and 5 on the other. Why? Everything has a wonderful meaning. So then you need 50 loops on each side. And 50 on the other that are bound together, and then they are clasped together with clasps of gold, so that they may be one tabernacle. So you might say to the Lord, why do you make it so complicated? It's not complicated. It's actually quite practical. Can you imagine to have to build up this covering and then take it apart again and so on and so forth? So isn't it much easier to have a 5 on the one and 5 on the other so you don't have one giant piece? And here we once again see the number 5. That means only the Lord is able to bear the full responsibility of what God wants to do today. With his whole plan, the Lord alone is capable and able to bear this responsibility fully. And then you've got the number 10. And every curtain is 4 cubits. And so we see how wonderful everything is made so wonderful. It's so practical, so that everything will be covered. And yet it does not touch the ground. The length is 28 cubits. And how will you divide up 28? Surely it's 20 plus 8. Because that is the measure throughout this holy place. And so here we see that it has to do with the number 10. It has to do with the number 8, with the number 5, and the number 50. And all these numbers recur. So 5 plus a 0 is 50. That means the Lord is so able to bear the full responsibility. So tell me, who bears the responsibility for the church in Zurich, in Zurich? Who is so capable? Who is so able? We always think as the leading brothers. Yes, of course we say we're the leading ones. We are the responsible ones. Yeah, we think we're responsible. So we even call ourselves the responsible brothers. This expression comes from the Brethren Assembly. Well, actually, we should say we are the irresponsible ones. I think that's better. That's closer to the truth. Who could bear all these numbers? Who has this measurement? Of course, people don't like to hear about being measured. When they hear all these things, they say, "Oh, John is talking about measurement again. We don't need that. This is nonsense. Forget about all of this." The more they don't want to hear, the more we know that we have to talk about this. Well, what can I do if I talk about the tabernacle? All these measurements are so important. Also, number 4. There are 40 sockets. For each board has 2 feet, which requires 2 sockets. So altogether it's 40 sockets. So the number 4 reappears because the building has so much to do with creation and with us. So we have the number 3, the number 4, the number 1, and the number 5. If you don't like to hear about that, then tell him. Don't tell me. I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice about what to say. If you don't like it, you tell him. Tell God. You can get mad at him. Don't be mad at me. All these measurements show us how the Lord is building the heavenly and the true tent. How he is erecting it. And one day you will be amazed when you are raptured and you're before the throne and you will look up and you'll say, oh yeah, we read about this and we heard this. Yeah, the Lord has to show us this very clearly, how He wants to build His house. And why am I telling you this today? It's because I want the Lord to give us this burden today. Because for many, the idea of the building up is just one city, one church. And what are we doing? Oh, well, we have a message, we sing, we have some rites or some rituals. What else? We serve, we set up chairs, we clean. And then we think that's already the building up. What about oneness? Actually, oneness is just to be one with the Lord. That's the main thing. One sister said once, oh, if you're not one with the elders, you can't clean with us. So what can you do but laugh at that? Where is it written? Where is it written? Isn't that sad? So then how do we build the church today? If that's our idea of building up, then I quit. I give up. I run away. What can I do? That's surely not a heavenly building. If you see that, then what do you want to do? Tell me. The Lord must open our eyes to see. We need such a wonderful covering of fine linen, and we cannot speak enough about this. Such a humanity of the Lord, so righteous, and we are justified before God, not before man. I do not care if we are justified before men or not. I don't desire for us to be justified just by men. It is nonsense to try to justify ourselves. What for? No, let the Lord justify us. That's good enough. Isn't that good enough? If the Lord says, that's right, that's good, it's wonderful, you good slave. Is that good enough or not? It's good enough. No matter if everyone else says no. No, we don't agree, that's wrong. But if the Lord says it's right, it's well-pleasing to the Father, hallelujah, then you're done. You don't need anything else. When the Lord was on this earth, did He care about so many different things? Did He care about what the high priest said? Did He fear the scribes? Was He afraid to offend them? Or to offend the Pharisees? He only cared about the Father. He concerned Himself with what the Father said. And so long as the Father showed His approval and was nodding and said, good, then that's sufficient. Then the matter is already taken care of. It's better to let the Father from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's good enough for the Lord. It doesn't matter if the high priests or the people, the entire people say, "Oh, the devil is in him." It doesn't matter. What is there left for him to justify? He came to fulfill the Father's will. Who has such a righteousness? A righteousness from the Father. And that's why he said, "There is not one who is good. No, not one." When someone came to him and said, "Good master," the Lord said to him right away, "Why are you calling me good master? No one is good, not one." So we as brothers, especially the young ones, must learn this. Do not fear man. Fear God. So long as God says, "This is fine, this is good," that's everything. Then it doesn't matter what people say. We learn this from the Lord. We learn it from this wonderful man, the humanity of the Lord, which sought only to be well-pleasing to God. So this wood is such a wood, and this covering is made of fine linen, which are the righteous acts of the saints. And the entire scripture says, Christ, our righteousness. We are not righteous because we have done something right, but we are righteous because the Lord is righteous. If it's not the Lord, then even if you're doing all the right things with building the sanctuary, it's still wrong because it's not righteous in the eyes of God. It is not righteous in God's eyes, because only Christ is righteous in his eyes. Why? Because your nature is not righteous. I can be so very right, I can do it so correctly, but God will still say it is not righteous. And you say, why? Why? It's because you are unrighteous. I am justified before the Father because in my flesh, sin dwells in my flesh. And that's why we need a different humanity for the building up of the church. Such a building up is not so easy. And yet, praise the Lord, as priests, we have the opportunity to handle all these offerings through all the circumstances in our daily life, a burnt offering that is just for God, a life that is fully obedient, that has learned obedience to the Father. A life that is consecrated. To do the will of the Father. And has even become our food. Is it so terrible to enjoy such a burnt offering? To experience it? Do you not need such a burnt offering? Okay, if you don't need it, that's fine. But I need it. I need it. Are you already fully reconciled to God? No, you are not even fully reconciled to men. And God's standard is much higher. We see so many things here, and then this blue color. Don't you love this blue color? Which color? Blue, a heavenly color. Only the Lord is the man that came from above. He is the heavenly one, and he is building the heavenly Jerusalem. Everything is heavenly. Our inheritance is in the heavens. Our wisdom is above. It's not from below. Everything that we have and receive must have this wonderful blue color. The church is something heavenly. And what are we? We are unfortunately earthly. We are still so earthly. But praise the Lord for the humanity of the Lord. And then this purple. Who is ruling in the church? Who is ruling? People say, I am trying to rule in the church. How can I rule? I'm only in Stuttgart 1 week out of a year. God is my witness. There's no church that belongs to me. I'm not even an elder in any church. So who's ruling? Do you rule? Are you ruling? I don't think so. I don't think you are ruling. I can see it already based on your face. You don't have the face of someone who is ruling. We have only one who has this purple color. And actually, he's not ruling. He is a slave. He is a slave. He said, the greatest is actually the slave of all. He does not rule. It's a shame to rule over the saints in the church, and everyone has to ask you for permission to do anything. That is a shame. Although the Lord was the king, he came not as a ruling one, but he came as a slave. Praise the Lord. We have to learn this from him. And that's why there are four colors that actually correspond to the four Gospels. His humanity, his kingship, his being a slave, and also his heavenly color. It corresponds so much to the four Gospels. And that's why there are four colors. It's so wonderful. The Lord is the King. He is the true and pure man. He is a slave, and he is God. And that also corresponds to the four living beings. Is that not wonderful? And so we have to build the church. Is that a method? Is it a principle? No. It is a living person. He is our way. Oh, you say that's not practical? Yes. Yes. It may not be practical for the others, but for us, it's very practical. We have to learn, we have to enter into this experience so that we can tell all people how to build the church. It's so wonderful and so glorious. And here in Hebrews, Paul limits himself just to describe the sanctuary. So then we first have these four pillars, 10 by 10 is a square, and then there are four pillars, the measurements of which are not specified. So we don't know their measurement. That means the Lord will not tell you everything. You have to ask the Spirit. But you have the Spirit, as Paul said in Corinthians. This the Lord did not tell me, but I think I also have the Spirit of God. I also have the Spirit. But he says that in reality, not just, oh, I have the Spirit, everyone has the Spirit. He didn't mean it that way. He meant he really knows the Spirit. This the Lord says, but this the Lord did not say, but I have the Spirit. That means that the anointing, the Spirit in him, told it to him. And he was so certain, because Paul was truly such a man who lived in the Spirit. So, as John and Sharon were trying to draw the four pillars, they drew them as being equidistant from one another, and they sent me this drawing, and I said, no, that's not possible, because if the pillars are spaced evenly, you will not be able to fit the ark through them. Because these four pillars are before the Holy of Holies. So if they're equally spaced, there will be no space in the middle for the ark to fit inside. It would be too narrow. They asked me, how do you know that? I said, I don't know how I know it, but I just know it. It has to be that way. So it's only possible that there's two on the one side and two on the other side, so that there will really be sufficient space in between, that two men on the one side, two men on the other side, and then eight of them can carry the ark in, and it will not be scratched or bang anything. Yeah, if the pillars were equidistant, there would be no room for these large men to fit through with the ark. That's not possible. And so the Lord did not give a measurement here. But we also have to be reasonable in these things, in the Spirit. So, certain things concerning the building up, we cannot simply point to the Word and say, see how it is written. That's not the case for all things, but praise the Lord, we have the Spirit in us. And through the Spirit, It's very practical. You will see, no, this is not the way, but this is the way. And similarly, these are the five pillars for the screen. In German, the word is the same for the screen and also for the curtain. In any case, we see here I think it's very important for us to have a deep impression of this building. You don't have time to speak about all the instruments in the sanctuary right now. So for those of you who are leaving now, I just wanted to at least touch on these points. And it's so important that we can see this wonderful picture, how we can build the church in a heavenly way. It's not just one city, one church. I don't know if everyone who's currently listening to this message really wants to hear it or is just listening so they can pick apart errors. But it doesn't matter. It's not important. We have fellowship about it so that we can learn how we can build the church through the Lord, and so that we can all reach the goal. Praise the Lord.